All right.
Ready?
Welcome, Christian Israel, Bible enthusiasts, lovers of truth. This is Yahweh's Covenant People here on EuroFolkRadio.com. Today is January 19th, 2018. And Pastor Greg not going to be able to make it. He's still struggling with the cold and coughing and sneezing and stuff like that. Doesn't feel he can do justice to a show. And so we're going to do a different topic tonight. We're going to do Acts chapter 22, okay? And this is where Paul admits that he was a Pharisee and actually says he is still a Pharisee. So what we gather by this, Pastor Steve, by the way, hello, Pastor Steve.
Hello.
Okay, yeah. Paul doesn't, I don't think Paul Either Paul is not aware that the Pharisees have been usurped by Edomites, okay, or he is aware but only that doesn't really understand that the Pharisees that are trying to kill him are not Edomites, okay? So, but let me just give a quick history of the Pharisees. The Pharisees began as Israelites of the Maccabees, the house of Judah, in the Maccabean period, and they were actually not priests. They started out as lay people, okay, who were upset about the Hellenization that was going on in the upper classes of Judah during that time, during the Hellenistic occupation, the Greek occupation. And so they actually started out as good guys because they believed in keeping the law. However, what happened over time, they started making up their own rules, and then ultimately they became taken over completely, or almost completely by the time of Christ, by the Edomites set up by Herod, okay? You want to comment on that, Pastor Steve, that little bit of an intro?
Well, no, I'll just let you roll with it. You're on a roll.
Okay.
If it works, don't fix it.
Yes, right. So then the Roman occupation came. The Romans came in, defeated the Greeks. And then, of course, Herod and Antipater, Herod's father, bribed Julius Caesar a great sum of money to have the Roman army accompany Herod and take over the throne of Judah. And then Herod assassinated all of the Judahite heirs. He assassinated them all. And then he assassinated the Sanhedrin and then set up his own Sanhedrin, which, you know, took over the job of the Pharisees. Okay? So gradually, people loyal to Herod became the Pharisees, okay, rather than pure Judahites. Now, there probably were still a couple of Judahites in there when Yahshua walked the earth, but from the research I've done, the vast majority of these Pharisees were Edomites, and of course, the Levitical priesthood, had done its job, and it was no longer less necessary. So that left only the Pharisees as the quote-unquote religious power. Okay, and what people don't understand is that these Pharisees were no longer ruled by Judahites. Okay, they had become an alien, an alien body, with a few Judahites thrown in. Okay, so this is we're going to pick up Acts chapter 22, where Paul describes himself as a Pharisee. So I'll just start reading here. Men, brethren, and fathers. Wait, what's brethren here? Let me take a look at this.
Brother.
Okay, it's Adelphos, okay, from the same womb. So he's speaking to, which I would say is an unmixed. It's an Israelite audience. It's an Israelite audience because in Acts chapter 21, I checked it out before going on the air, and it was James and the elders of Israel, okay? Apparently no Pharisees in the crowd here, no Edomite Pharisees in this audience to which he is speaking. Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Now, of course, he was being accused of denying the law of Moses. That's the accusation. Verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue, to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Judean, is the proper translation, Judeos, meaning a resident of Judea, okay? But I think Paul really means to say, I am a Judahite, of the house of Judah, because elsewhere he describes himself as a Benjamite, okay, of one of the tribe of Benjamin. So he is by far, he is absolutely an Israelite, but he also, as a Benjamite, he is of the house of Judah, okay? So this is a bad, even though the Greek word here is Judeos, which is a territorial term, what Paul is trying to say here is he is a Benjamite of the house of Judah. Wouldn't that be the case? Wouldn't his listeners understand that him to be that?
Well, he's speaking in Hebrew, and he says, I am indeed a Yahudi.
Okay.
Or Yahudim.
Mm-hmm.
A person of the tribe of Yahudah who praises Yah. Okay.
Yes.
That doesn't mean Jew.
Right.
Yes. And he's giving his bona fides right there. He's giving his lineage.
Yes.
And then he goes on to testify of the miracle of what happened to him when he was on the road and Yeshua appeared to him.
Yes, yes. Now, the fact that he spoke Hebrew carried great weight with the elders and the brethren that were gathered there, okay? Because it says, oh, hey, he's speaking Hebrew. He's speaking Hebrew. Shh. Okay, all right. So,
well, Greek was the lingua franca.
Yes.
They were using Greek because they had been Hellenized so badly.
Right.
And when he was not speaking Greek, he spoke to Israelites in Hebrew, their native language.
That's right. Yeah.
This sort of set them back on their heels.
Yeah,
wow.
They were impressed by that. Hey, wait a minute. This guy speaks Hebrew? This guy from Tarsus speaks Hebrew? Okay. Right? Okay. Born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, now according to Strong's Concordance here, well, the word Gamaliel is of Hebrew origin. Okay. And would you have a definition of that? Because it is a Hebrew word. Would you have a definition for that? It's also the name of a Pharisee, the Pharisee that taught.
Gamaliel is it's not Gamaliel, it's Gamaliel.
Okay.
I don't have a definition for it right offhand. I wasn't prepared.
Right.
To look that up.
Okay. And then if you have a chance, I'll keep reading. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law, okay, of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. Okay, so now, right. Now if Gamaliel was in fact a Hebrew and not an Edomite, which is very possible here, then he would have been taught by one of these Judahite Pharisees, not an Edomite Pharisee. Okay, we have to make that distinction. There's a, as time went on, all the Judahite Pharisees were taken over by Edomite Pharisees, and those were the people that were, you know, confronted Yahshua Messiah in the New Testament. Okay, with possibly Nicodemus being an exception. Maybe Nicodemus was an actual Judahite. But okay. So the Israelites would have kept company among themselves, and these Edomite Pharisees would have always been intruding upon the company of the Israelites, and so you could they would recognize, and of course they were the leading politicians set up by Herod, so the Israelites and the Judahites would not have kept company with these Edomite Pharisees. So chances are this assembly here is all Israelites. Okay. Verse 4. And now here's where he's admitting, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Okay, so it sounds to me like an admission here, persecute unto death, that he was involved in killing Israelites.
All right, Gamliel.
Okay.
Is a combination of 1580, Gamal, and 410. That means reward of God.
Reward of God. Okay, so God's reward. Okay.
To, 1580 means to treat a person well, benefit or requite, bestow on, do good, reward, etc. That means reward of God.
Yeah, okay. So chances are...
It is the Hebrew 1583. Gamliel, not Gamaliel.
Okay, it's so that's Gamli, the way they spell. Okay.
And it, the second word in that is L.
Okay. So anyway, they have it here as Gamaliel, and that's the usual way it's pronounced. And so chances are Gamaliel was in fact a Hebrew, an Israelite, and not a Edomite Jew. Okay. So here, and in verse 4, he says, "And I persecuted this day this way unto death." So I was involved. Okay, so way.
That is, means the way of Yahweh. The way of Yeshua.
Okay. Okay. Right.
The acceptance of the Messiah.
Okay. But apparently he was, since he was persecuting other Israelites, and it would only have been other Israelites because nobody else would have been practicing the religion of the way, the religion of Yahweh, okay?
Right.
Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So he's admitting his faults before the congregation here. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there, bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Okay? So, there's no doubt that the type of Pharisaism that he was practicing was the hard and fast, you know, it rejected the coming of the Messiah, okay, and the rejection of the rituals, okay, and especially the Levitical rituals, all right? So he was probably demanding that they keep practicing these Levitical rituals, including the killing of lambs, et cetera, et cetera. That would be the religion he's practicing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is the... now, of course, Paul eventually becomes the foremost explainer of the fact that Messiah has come, all right, and that all those rituals are no longer valid. And So he's definitely, he was a, let's put it this way. Paul started out as a Judaizer, as we would use the term today, but he became an anti-Judaizer after his vision at Damascus, correct? Wouldn't that be the correct way of putting it?
That is exactly right. Hey, I was a Southern Baptist.
Right.
But yeah. Christian identity just hit me right between the eyes when I really started studying. And it was over. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, once you know, you can't unknow. Because if you try to fake it, it will eat you up. When you get the knowledge, you're done.
Yes.
You can't go back.
Yeah. Brother Abear says, not sure if there were any other Israelites on the Sanhedrin other than Nicodemus, Gamaliel, and Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah, Joseph of Arimathea in the Sanhedrin? I guess he was.
I do believe he was, yes.
Yes, okay. And so Joseph would have been another Israelite. So at this point, at this stage of the game, it looks to me that the Edomite Pharisees were in the process of taking over, you know, the Sanhedrin. Okay. But there were still Israelites on the Sanhedrin. Okay.
Well, a few.
A few. Yes. Not too many. Yeah. And in fact, Nicodemus and Joseph are the only ones that show any sympathy toward Yahshua. The rest of them are all engaged in condemning him. Okay. So chances are these guys are the only Israelites left on the Sanhedrin. It's totally taken over by Edomites.
Or there were Israelites that didn't want to be out of the herd.
Right. Or were afraid. Or were afraid to recognize Messiah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So let's continue here. And then we have a Catholic commentary just to see where the Catholic heads are at. Okay. All right. So he was getting ready to persecute, and he's been rounding up Israelites for to punish, bring them to Jerusalem to punish them. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, and Damascus is in Syria, which is not really far from, you know, from Palestine at all, from either Galilee or Judea. About noon, suddenly there shone from heaven, and what's heaven here? Uranus. Okay. Of course, this is in the figurative sense. Although there could have been a light shining, a visible light shining down too. Although not likely because nobody else saw it. Okay. A great light round about me. So he's been transported into another dimension where he sees this light. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Pastor Steve, would Yahweh or a messenger of Yahweh bother with Saul if he were an Edomite?
No.
Right?
Short and sweet. No.
Yeah, exactly.
They have no place. They have no place with Yeshua.
Yes. Now, of course, I'm keeping the Paul bashers in mind. The Paul bashers would say, well, Paul is just making all of this up. You know, he didn't see any vision, and this is just an excuse he's making in front of this collection of Israelites. All right. Well, let's assume he's a Jew. If a Jew had, an Edomite Jew, had gone before all these guys and said, you know, well, I persecuted them, but now I stopped persecuting them, well, then he wouldn't be a Jew either, right? Because the Jew wouldn't stop persecuting the Israelites, right? So he's taking a huge risk going in front of here explaining himself to them, all right? Something a Jew wouldn't even bother to do. You know, simply would not bother to do. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and I answered, who art thou, Lord? And Lord is Kurios here. And he said unto me, I am Yahshua of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Remember, in Matthew chapter 25, where Yahshua says, if you harm one of my brethren or do injustice to one of my brethren, you're doing injustice to me. Okay.
That's right.
Because
that's
we're right. Always, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. He's using the same argument here. I am Yahshua of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Okay. And they that were with me saw indeed the light. Okay, so they did see a light, a physical light. So right. Okay. And were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay, so he's got eyewitnesses to the light, but not witnesses to the voice.
No, and it was only for him.
That's right. So, yeah, he was the one who, who was in denial, right? And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Okay. Through my, all these shows that we've done about Paul and the trials and tribulations of Saul and Paul, I have concluded that Paul is really an individual metaphor for those of us Israelites in the modern world, or even throughout the ages, who have rejected the scriptures and rejected the identity message and actually come back and see the light and turn our ways and become converted to the true faith, okay? This is why Paul is going through all this, because you just mentioned it yourself. You used to be a Southern Baptist, right?
Yep.
But the day came when you saw the light.
Yep.
Okay. Now we have to justify ourselves before all the unbelievers who don't want to hear what we have to say. Okay. So Paul is kind of like us. Those of us who have had to come, I grew up Catholic. I rejected Catholicism. I went to various different denominations to see what they were all about. They were all flaky and pablum religions, right? Until I came to Christian Identity, and then the light turned on. Yeah. Okay. So each of us...
Well, I looked around me in the world, and I looked at the behavior of the churchianity people and all the ones they were letting in.
Yeah.
And it just didn't ring true.
Yeah. And that's Greg's story, too. He's got a 4-year degree in Judeo-Christianity, and it just didn't make any sense. He says there was nothing there. It didn't hold anything for him, didn't motivate him, didn't turn him on. There's just nothing there. And that's how I reacted to Catholicism and all these other denominations. Okay. Acts 22:11. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. No. So it isn't quite that he went blind. That light was so bright that, it just it overshadowed everything else. It overpowered everything else. Verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law. Now this is twice. A devout according to the law. Okay. Now there are many of us who are devout according to the law, as we see it, right? This is what Paul was, or Saul. He was devout according to the Pharisaic law, and we just don't have any way of knowing what Gamaliel taught him, okay? Whether it was tainted with Edomite, ideas or not. We have no way of knowing, okay?
No, but we sure don't.
Yeah, we just don't, okay? But the fact of the matter is that Paul became an anti-Pharisee, and he was hated by the Edomite Pharisees. I don't think there was ever, a time when... except for maybe when he was...
Okay, there's an old saying.
Uh-huh.
There's no more righteous woman than a reformed whore.
Right? Okay. I'll buy that.
Well, that's an old that. You're down in the pits of degradation, and when Yahweh through Yahshua lifts you up out of that, it's such a relief, and you see so clearly. And when He blesses you, like He has me with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it's just too much. I fought against it for some time when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was rejecting the Judeo-Christianity. Man, it's not true. These guys are, you know, we're supposed to go to church with Negroes, and the Jews are God's chosen people. I'm looking around watching what the Jews are doing. I said, man, this is, I just can't keep going to that Baptist church. I just can't.
Yeah.
And I shopped around, and I church shopped, and none of them were given the straight scoop.
All right. Yeah, it's all lame, lamianity, right? Very lame teaching, and very redundant. You know, it's
and
all
so many holes in it.
Yeah, right. Makes no sense.
You throw an anvil through the holes in it. It's terrible.
Right. Okay, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Judeans which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. Okay, so within an hour his sight returned. So Ananias had to be an Israelite, okay, to do this. He was obviously sent by Yahweh. Right.
This is different. It says, okay. Brother Shaul, look up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then, so he looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Okay, so obviously, Yahshua had come and gone, so he's all not right. Seeing him in the flesh. He's only seeing him in the spirit. All right, and so
that's scary.
Yeah,
that scares man.
Right,
I'd be quaking in my boots.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and he didn't. Yeah, he probably was. He just doesn't say he was. Okay, all right. And thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And of course, all men here is all Adamites. Okay, Anthropos comes from Adamites, doesn't come from human being. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. And it came to pass, so I didn't even realize, I had skipped over this, Pastor Steve. I never realized that Paul was baptized, I guess by Ananias, I'm not sure, by somebody, probably Ananias. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Okay, so... and most people today are walking around in trances, but they're not good trances. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now, who's they?
The Pharisees.
Yeah, certainly the Pharisees, but also a lot of Judahites didn't want to accept Yahshua either, right? So it's not an easy, you can't just say that it's only Pharisees. The Pharisees have followers among Israelites, just as today the Jews have followers among white people, Christians.
Yeah. Devout, rabid, fanatical.
Yes.
They believe the hype.
Yeah, just like Paul.
And they see all these others doing it.
Yes.
So it's right. a mass psychosis, really.
Monkey see, monkey do, right?
That's right.
And so just like Paul, they're fanatics. They're actually Pharisees. They're pro-Pharisee, and they don't know it. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. So now he realizes that he was persecuting Yahshua's followers. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept a raiment of them that slew him. So he was an agent of the Pharisees. And yep. he said, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the nations, not unto the non-Israelites. Unto the mm-hmm. ethnos. Okay, the word here, folks, is ethnos, unto the race. That's the definition here,
That's
ethnos.
Correct.
A race. I will That's send right. thee far hence unto the race of Israel, is what this verse means. Okay? Verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now, Pastor Steve, aren't the Judeo-Christians saying the same thing about us?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And passing laws to make it happen.
Yeah, right. Trying to pass laws to put us in jail. Right? Yes. Because we teach the truth about Yahshua, and they don't. Verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Okay. Yeah, they want to scourge us too, don't they?
They want to do a lot more than
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, right. They want to get rid of us completely. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Okay, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So Paul is actually a Roman citizen. He's...
And a Jew cannot be a citizen of Rome.
Okay, right?
My. Well, no, funny well, how that happened.
It was an oversight by Rome, right?
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, so, and the centurion says, What? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born. Okay, he was
well,
born.
Well, it has citizenship in here.
Okay. Yeah, the captain says, I bought my citizenship with a great sum of money. But Paul
yeah,
says...
Yeah, I wonder how much Barack paid.
Yeah, right? Oh, he sold his soul. I know that whatever soul a Negro might have, a half-breed Negro at that. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Okay, so he had basically bound a free Roman citizen, which is a no-no. And then finally, mm-hmm. verse 30, on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Judeans, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. Now, we're not going to go into Acts chapter 23, where the rest of the story picks up. We're going to switch to another document here. This is just to compare how we view this scenario versus the Catholics, okay? And this is Catholic News Agency. The article is A Pharisee of Pharisees by Thomas Smith. And let's see if there's any wisdom coming from the Catholic Church. He says, As I mentioned in an earlier post, we cannot hope to understand St. Paul without first exploring his BC timeline. He was a tripart person. He says a Jew, by of course really he was a Judahite of the house of Judah, from the tribe of Benjamin, and a member of the Pharisee movement. Okay, that's correct. He was a member of the Pharisee movement. So I would say, Pastor Steve, at this point, it would be like for us to say he was a Judeo-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, listen to this. A resurrected rabbi? They described Messiah as a rabbi when he said, don't call anybody a rabbi.
You're right. Don't call me rabbi. No, 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 no. Okay, I guess Mr. Smith missed that verse. Okay. So he was a Judahite of the house of Judah, but properly he was a Judean. A Judean.
The national designation.
Right, it's a national designation, even though it was a multicultural territory. He was a Roman citizen raised in a Hellenized Greek culture, and that was the city of Tarsus, controlled by the Romans, and a disciple of Yahshua. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's a Catholic, and he totally buys into all these false Jewish claims. Okay. Really sad. This is, you know, about as sad as it gets. Okay. This week, and now, Pastor Steve, I remember growing up Catholic, when going to Catholic grade school, we had no love of the Jews. This is newspeak. It's Catholic newspeak.
Yep.
No Catholic priest ever talked like this in my presence, calling Jesus a rabbi. Okay?
Nope.
Never happened. So this is a result of the changes in Vatican II.
Look at Pope Francis. Look at the hook schnoz on that.
He's got that devil nose. It's an arrow pointing straight down. Right?
Man.
He's got the devil. Well, he is a Jesuit, right? They don't get any worse than Jesuits. They're all commies. All right. So this week, we'll look at St. Paul in the context of his Pharisee background. If someone called you a Pharisee of Pharisees today, it would be one of the worst insults you could receive. And that is correct. In our time, a Pharisee has been reduced to a self-righteous hypocrite. And that's what the vast majority of them were. And still are. Rabbis. Mm-hmm. Although Christ reserved some of his harshest criticism in the Gospels for the Pharisees, he also encouraged obedience to their teaching. Now, this is not exactly correct. Not to their teaching. All he said in Matthew chapter 23 was abide by their rulings if you happen to get called up, you know, in some lawsuit, okay? So he says, also encouraging obedience to their teaching while challenging the hypocrisy of some. No, it wasn't just some. It was a vast majority. In Matthew 23, Jesus highlights this fact, practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice. Okay, so Pastor Steve, if the Pharisees are, the Edomite Pharisees are impersonating the original Pharisees who were Judahites and are teaching the law and posing as teachers of the law, they wouldn't be making wholesale changes in the law in public. Now, would they?
They would do subtleties.
Yes, they would do subtleties.
He was more subtle than all the other beasts of the field.
That's right. And, if they had managed to be the leading judges of the day, they couldn't be making wholesale mincemeat of the law, right, and creating injustice. The people would object. The people would go crazy because the people knew the law.
Yeah,
right?
Back then, yeah, they did.
Right back then, okay. So they had to, grin and bear it. They had to abide by the law to a certain extent anyway, and they could only deviate from the law by subtleties. Okay?
Right.
That's how we have to perceive Matthew chapter 23, and this would be the correct
way. How they've wormed their way into all our white Christian nations.
Right.
And they get into the legal profession and subvert the laws.
Right. But he is obviously telling us in verse 3 that they are hypocrites. They preach correctly, but they do not practice, okay? And all Pharisees were not the enemy of Christ and his church. And we just talked about that. The vast majority of them were the enemies. And even if they were Israelites, they sided with the Edomite Pharisees, with very, very few exceptions. In the gospel, some Pharisees warned Jesus of Herod's murderous plans. Luke 13:3. Now, who was that? Was that Nicodemus? Because he says some Pharisees. And I think it was only one Pharisee. I mean, you got to be really accurate here. Luke 13:3. And one of the greatest Pharisees in history, Gamaliel, urged the leaders not to persecute the followers of Christ. Okay, so if that, so Gamaliel probably was an Israelite, and that's Acts 5:34. Okay, so very good pointing that out, Brother Hebert. Okay, so it was, yeah, so Nicodemus, Gamaliel, and Joseph would have been three Israelites in the Sanhedrin. Okay. But it's obvious that the vast majority of the Sanhedrin wanted Christ executed. All right, so here, let me get this document back. So Paul wasn't embarrassed to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he never considered it something he must lay aside to follow Christ. So this brings me back to the question I asked at the beginning of the show. Would Paul, as an outsider, just coming into Judea and addressing his fellow Israelites, would he have been aware before he had the vision on the road to Damascus, before he had that vision, would he have been aware of the Edomite intrusion into the sect of the Pharisees?
No, he would not have.
Okay. So we have to cut him some slack here. Okay.
Well, they were like the people today. They have been hoodwinked.
Mm-hmm.
They have been lied and deceived. And the herd follows that doctrine. Therefore, if you want to be part of the herd, you don't want to be ostracized,
right,
you'll follow that doctrine.
You don't want to be called a neo-Nazi.
It's peer pressure.
Yes.
Peer pressure.
That's all it is, yes. It's peer pressure, and they know how to use it.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, right? And he never considered it something he must lay aside to follow Christ. That's correct. Just as today's Judeo-Christians don't think they have to lay aside their Jew worship, Pharisee worship, but that's what they're doing. They're worshiping the Pharisees, and they don't know it. Just like Paul. Decades after his conversion, when he proclaimed the gospel before the Sanhedrin, he declared, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee." Oh, he's going into Acts chapter 23. "A son of Pharisees." So it's quite possible, even though he was up in Turkey, that the Israelite Pharisees were traveling around, and since he says, "and a son of Pharisees," that the Israelite sect, because they would have been traveling among their brethren, the race, in Greece, in Greco-Roman territory, these would not have been Edomite Jews. These would have been Israelites, okay, of the dispersion. But they still referred to themselves as Pharisees. At the same time, the moment he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he would have to revisit everything he believed and radically expand the boundaries of his belief. Now, what I said earlier was that even though the original Pharisees were of Judah, they had begun making up their own doctrine. Okay? And so some of this doctrine may not have been scriptural. Okay. So this is, so he probably learned some false doctrine, even from Gamaliel. Although if they're Israelites, then they would be anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Right.
If the
Pharisee was an Israelite, he would have been anticipating the coming of Messiah. If the Pharisee were an Edomite, he couldn't care less about the coming of Messiah. Right?
Yeah, he tried to trash it.
That's exactly right. And that's why Herod tried to kill baby Jesus. All right? Okay,
yeah.
The author continues. I believe this is why he went to Arabia, possibly even Mount Sinai. That's interesting. I never heard that conjecture before. To reorient his ideas about the God of Israel, not unlike Moses and Elijah. Okay. Well, certainly, he believed he was following the law of Moses. That's what he believed. Okay. But he didn't realize there was such a thing as a hypocritical Pharisee. He didn't realize there was such a thing.
Yeah, he thought he was doing the right thing.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's the way they do today. He said they will kill you all the day long and think they do God a service.
That's right. That's right. So the Paul bashers have to cut Paul some slack here, okay? He was ignorant, just like many of us were ignorant, all right, of the law and of doing away with the rituals at Calvary, okay? In fact, Paul's major mission, once he saw the light, was to instruct both the dispersed Israelites and the house of Judah that the Messiah had come and the Levitical rituals were no longer necessary. Is this not the case? Isn't this what Paul's mission really was?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
You can imagine at that time going out. We have history that we can show, and we have all these documents and the New Testament and the Bible.
Yes.
He didn't have that. He was going out evangelizing.
Right.
In an extremely hostile environment.
Right,
and
just
eventually
like
they cut his. They killed
right?
him.
They killed him.
Eventually, they killed all the apostles.
Right. Yes,
except for Yehuda Iscariot.
Right,
he hung himself.
Yes, that's right. And so Paul really becomes the apostle to all 12 tribes, but he had a very difficult sell in Judea. Because the Judahites were law-abiding. They still kept practicing the ritual law.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Sacrifice,
yeah.
All of that.
So this is why they accused them of violating the law of Moses. They did not realize that the Messiah had come. They did not realize that they had participated in the execution of their Messiah.
Well, and they didn't understand why the Messiah laid his life down like that.
That's right.
They couldn't. Well, if he's the Son of God, why would he allow? Because there's no remission of sin without the shedding
right.
of blood.
They forgot about that. Okay. So yep. Paul's message was more readily accepted among the dispersion. Because they weren't practicing these ritual laws. They didn't care about that, right? So Paul comes along, oh, you're Israelites, and the Messiah has come, and your past sins are forgiven for joy, right?
Yeah, they weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Right? These people were not people outside of Israel. They were not what the Judeo world calls Gentiles, right? These people were, in fact, Israelites of the dispersion. And he didn't have to tell them to stop sacrificing animals, right? Because they had stopped doing that ages ago. And so, you know, it was a much easier sell for them. Okay.
Yep, sure was.
Okay, now here again is a misconception by the author. After meeting the resurrected Christ, the Pharisee of Pharisees would spend most of his energies converting the race, not the Gentiles.
Well, it's ethnos. Yes,
right. Converting that's the ethnos. Right. Okay.
The race of Israel.
Yeah, the race of Israel. Right. Yeah. And then he says, yet this was not consistent with his Jewish heritage. Well, he wasn't a Jew, and it was consistent with his Judahite heritage to go out and convert the race. Okay?
Yeah.
See, he's confused by the meaning of the word, by that inserted word, Gentile.
Yep, that's why they tampered with the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So, here is this Catholic, and of course, I think actually it was the Catholics who inserted the word Gentile into the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that because that's a Latin word.
It is a mess.
Yeah, it's a Latin word.
And when I show people what has been done, a great many reject it, and a great many accept it. About 50-50. The light is starting to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually. There's a great many that are now Christian identity, because I teach, I strike up conversations with willing people when there's no
Pharisees other, around.
well, there's no other right. races around.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to be spewing this out in public in this building and get kicked out of the building.
Oh, yeah. You make enemies fast, right?
And
hateful enemies. they'd want to drag you before the Roman court.
Well, and the funny thing is, a lot of, we laugh at the black Hebrews.
Right.
But they try to follow the law under misconception.
Sure, of course.
It's not going to do them any good.
Right. Okay.
But it's a mess.
7 of None asks, was Saint John, or John the Apostle, was he killed? I'm not sure if there's any record of him being killed. I was always under the impression that he lived out his
John
life.
John the Baptist was beheaded.
Yeah, John the Baptist, yeah.
But that was John the Apostle. He was a brother to, But they were all killed. All the apostles, all of them, including Paul, they were all beheaded.
Okay. I think one wasn't Peter crucified upside down or something?
Yeah.
They were all killed.
Yeah. Most of them were beheaded. They'd go in and they'd pull their arms back behind them and bend them over and whop.
Oh, yeah. Hurt. a whole lot of hurting going on. Okay.
Oh, man, I just, it's going to get to that today, too.
Okay.
You all watch out there. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And they've got these satanic following thugs that are just murdering people and getting away with it. There's no repercussions.
Yes.
And it's in the last days, what is evil will become good and what is good will become evil. It's going to be a direct mirror image of what it's supposed to be. It's going to be the dark side.
Yeah.
And that's what's coming. And I keep telling people, man, you just can't sit on that fence. You can't sit on that fence. They're going to knock you off that fence and chop you up.
Yes, yes. Okay, one more statement here because we're almost out of time. This really shows how far off Catholicism is.
Brother A. Bear says, I always thought John died on Patmos of old age. He may have.
Okay.
I never concentrated on that too much. I'll have to look that up. Now you've sparked my interest. Like I don't have anything else to do.
Right. Well, here, the Apostle John, because I think this is more interesting than the rest of this writing by this Catholic guy. John was the brother of the Apostle James, it says here, BiblePath.com.
Yeah, James, yeah.
He was also the son of Zebedee, a fisherman of Galilee. His mother's name was Salome, who is believed to be a sister of Jesus' mother Mary. Okay, so they were cousins. Yahshua and John were cousins, according to this. John, his brother James, and the apostles Peter and Andrew were all partners and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I don't know where it talks about his death. Okay. All right, just scrolling all the way down. It is said that John founded and built churches throughout all Asia and, worn out by old age, died in the 68th year after our Lord's Passion and was buried near the same city, Ephesus. That's what this article says. Okay. It goes further. There's a church tradition which says that when John was evidently an old man in Ephesus, he had to be carried to the church in the arms of his disciples. At these meetings, he was accustomed to say no more than, "Little children, love one another." Okay. Which is enough when you're on death's door, right? Okay. All right. So apparently John died of old age. Okay. That's what this tradition recites. Okay, so I'm not sure if we have the 3-minute outros automatic anymore.
No, we're done with that.
Okay, all right, so we can go. So we can go the rest of the time here, and I don't have it.
The 3 minutes is supposed to be put in at the beginning of the show now.
Okay, so I don't know if we did that properly today or not. So I'll get with Paul to make sure. To make sure we do it right, because it wasn't working out.
He can edit it, and
yes, yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. Well, going into the middle section here, the Apostle John rose to a position of influence within worldwide Christianity, and shortly before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 A.D., he moved to Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. He became the pastor of the church in Ephesus and had a special relationship with other churches in the area, as we know from the letters to the 7 churches in Asia in the book of Revelation. Okay. So he was looked up to by many of these congregations outside of Ephesus. All right. So the first 3 chapters of Revelation, he talks about those 7 churches. Right. So he would have been intimately familiar with those literal, those were literal churches. Although the prophetic section, you know, are their church ages.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. There is a church. Yeah. There is a church tradition which says that while John was living in Ephesus, John had with him Mary, the mother of Jesus, for a few years. Well, this would conflict with other traditions that say that Mary and Joseph, but Joseph of Arimathea, were put right. on a raft and set afloat, right? With them to die, expecting to die on the high seas.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. Right. Okay. All right. So anyway, we just wanted to go through Acts chapter 22 to show how the Catholic Church today, I think before Vatican II, they might have handled the subject a little differently. But to show how the Catholic Church has been Judaized in recent years as a result of...
Well, they keep having Jewish popes.
Yes. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, they do.
Yes.
They're Jews.
John the 23rd was a Freemason. And whether he was Jewish, I'm not sure. But every single one after him had Jewish blood. Okay. John Paul I had a Jewish mother. Or no, I'm sorry, John Paul II had a Jewish mother. And John Paul I was actually a reformer, but he was killed by the Freemasons and was not allowed to create any reforms. All right, folks, so that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed our analysis of Acts chapter 22 and showing how the Catholics believe, what the Catholics believe about it. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, we pass the ammunition. We'll see you all again next time, okay? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shalom aleichem, and may Yahweh bless.
May Yahweh bless.